I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Mary Liz Wright now joins us. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and we really have to think about that turkey. Hopefully you already have it in the fridge, and maybe you started to thaw it there, but Mary Liz has a better idea about doing this than I do. She is an extension educator in this area. Hey, Mary Liz, thanks for being with us. What should we do with these turkeys?
Well, Todd, ideally, you would have put it into the refrigerator to thaw. The formula is for every 5 pounds of turkey, it takes 24 hours for it to thaw in the refrigerator. Now, obviously, it's Wednesday, and unless your turkey is 5 pounds, you're not going to get that turkey thawed in the refrigerator today. So the other method would be to keep the turkey in its original wrapper from the store, put it in a sink of cold water, change your water every 30 minutes, and it should take, you could probably thaw it in a couple of hours that way, depending on how big your turkey is, but a 10 to 15, 20 pound turkey, and it's going to take you a couple hours, or maybe 3 hours to get that thawed. But never just set it on the counter. Don't leave it out overnight. The surface of the turkey could reach an unsafe temperature, even though the inside could still remain frozen. The surface could have bacterial growth, and obviously we don't want to make anyone sick from our Thanksgiving dinner.
So right about now, you're making me want to take that out of the wrapper, if I've thought it, and wash it off. But I take it that's not what you want me to do.
Good point, Todd. Yes. The USDA, years ago, we used to wash all of our meat. And the theory was, you're cleaning it up. You're being a good hostess. And we even thought we were washing some of the bacteria off. Well, there's a couple of reasons we don't want to do that. Number one, some of that bacteria is so tightly bound to the skin of the turkey or of any meat that you're using, you're not going to get it off anyway. And then secondly, some of the bacteria will come off as, if you're washing it, you'll notice that there's little droplets of water that would bounce off, just invariably in the washing process. Those tiny little droplets of water will get on your countertop, your faucet, other surface areas of the kitchen, and then when you touch those surfaces, you'll have the bacteria on your hands. So the bacteria will be killed in the cooking process. So don't wash the meat.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to contain the contamination, which is there, to the turkey itself and not to any of my other surfaces.
Exactly. Just remove the wrapper, put it in your big roasting pan, and do whatever seasoning you want to and cook it.
That was really kind of my next question. How do I go about the rest of this? You've got some thoughts on...
Well, Todd, there's an awful lot of information on the internet. Some of it is excellent and some not. Something that was circulating in the last couple of years was the easy method to roast a turkey, and the directions were to set your oven on 200, a ridiculously low temperature. Put the turkey in, leave it in overnight, and then it would be ready the next day. That's an incredibly unsafe way to roast a turkey. That amount and volume of meat that needs to be cooked should never be cooked at a temperature less than 325. So make sure that you're putting it in an oven at 325. You need about an hour and a half for every 5 pounds of meat. Now, that's not an exact formula. You'll also want to get a meat thermometer. And at the end of the roasting time, put the meat thermometer in the thickest part of the breast and, again, in the thickest part of the thigh. It should register 165 in order for it to be safe to eat.
I want to come back to the beginning of this process. So I've got the turkey now in the oven. It's at the prescribed temperature, and I'm waiting for it to cook. How do I go about cleaning up the spaces which I use to prep the turkey in?
Oh, excellent question, Todd. Really, hot soapy water will do the trick, but if you want to take an extra step and sanitize those surfaces, all you need is a teaspoon of bleach per quart of water. Put that in a spray bottle. After you have washed the surface with hot soapy water, then spray that bleach solution on the counter, on your faucet, and just let it dry, and that will sanitize. It's a very small amount of bleach. And I often tell people, if your kitchen smells like a swimming pool, you're using too much bleach. It's really only necessary to use a teaspoon per quart of water.
What other things should we consider on this day before Thanksgiving?
Well, the other thing that we often see people do is that they create such a volume of food, they have an enormous amount of leftovers, and they really don't know what to do with those. We don't recommend setting them outside simply because there could be fluctuations in temperature, or you know, your pets could get into it. The other thing we caution against is setting large vessels, large quantities of food directly into the refrigerator. You want to break those down into smaller containers so there can be some air circulation around it. For example, if you have a big soup pot full of noodles or mashed potatoes, if you set that entire container in your refrigerator, it will not cool the entire amount down to a safe temperature in a safe amount of time. And what I mean by that is you want that food to get to that 40 degree mark within 6 hours. So smaller containers, let the air circulate around it, and you're good to go. You also want to get things from the table into the fridge within 2 hours. So even though it's tempting to leave the leftovers out and let people snack on it all afternoon while they watch the ball game, that leaves the food in the danger zone where bacteria can grow and multiply to the level of making us sick. If anything beyond 2 hours is what we call the danger zone. And bacteria like temperatures above 40 and below 135. So when you think about it, our air temperatures are what bacteria like.
What are the foods that are most likely to go bad over time? I know things probably with mayonnaise, so deviled eggs, those sorts of things. Are there other?
Right. Well, and honestly, anything with protein. Bacteria like protein. But what we've also found here of late, and you'll notice all the food safety issues that have come into the news in the last few years, we're seeing more and more in fruits and vegetables and things that we never saw food safety issues with before. And so I think what we need to do is just assume that all things need to be handled carefully. By that, any cut fruit or vegetable, that should be refrigerated within 2 hours. Certainly any dairy products or proteins need to be refrigerated. Your only safe bet is desserts, chips, snack mixes, that sort of thing.
So just offhand, I was thinking about this. So you told me not to wash the turkey.
Correct.
However, with fruits and vegetables and things that aren't heated up to a place that they would kill the contamination, I'm assuming that you really do want me to go ahead and prep those and wash them.
I do, absolutely. And even things that you're going to peel. Because if you think about it, bacteria that's on the peel of that fruit or vegetable, once you cut it, you're forcing that bacteria into the flesh of the fruit or vegetable. So what you're doing is you're actually increasing the exposure of bacteria. And we actually have on the U of I website, on our YouTube channel, there are several videos about washing fruits and vegetables. Melons, you're going to want to scrub them. Root vegetables, scrub those as well, even if you're not going to peel them.
Am I worried about the difference between organically grown and non-organically grown fruits and vegetables in this particular area?
I don't think so, Todd. And again, washing will eliminate any kind of residue that would have been on the surface of that fruit or vegetable.
Other little tips that you might have for the cooks this holiday?
Well, and I would say there are other food, they're not necessarily food safety, but kitchen safety. You know, many of us don't cook large meals anymore on a regular basis. And so we're taking on this monumental task. You want everything to be perfect. And sometimes accidents happen. So we want to pay particular attention to steam. Steam is hotter than hot water. So when you're lifting the lids or opening the oven door, turn your head so you don't get a flush of steam in your face. Make sure your knives are sharp. Dull knives cause more accidents than sharp ones. And if there are any spills on the floor of your kitchen, wipe those up immediately. No one wants a trip to the emergency room on Thanksgiving Day.
All right. Well, what's your Thanksgiving Day plan? Does it look like a lot of cooking for you?
Well, yes. I have about 31 coming to our house, and we've been cooking in stages and freezing some of the dishes that we could make ahead. But it's going to be a busy afternoon at our house, that's for sure.
Mary Liz, you have a great holiday. I thank you for talking to me today.
Well, thank you so much, Todd, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
The same to you, Mary Liz. Mary Liz Wright, of course, is an extension educator in nutrition and wellness. She's out of the Clark Crawford Edgar Unit near Marshall, Illinois, joins us here to talk about Thanksgiving safety. If you'd like to learn more from U of I Extension on that topic, just visit extension.illinois.edu, click Explore, and then type in Thanksgiving. You have a great holiday season. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, wishing you the best and happiest of Thanksgivings.